Switzer with us. If you weren't here this morning for Sunday school, Steve gave us an extensive update on what is going on with his ministry. Steve is the director of Africa for Manna Worldwide. But Steve is going to kind of give us a summary before he preaches, but he is going to come and preach for us this time. Come on, Steve.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be back here with you in Dalhart. And I've asked Shelley to kind of come and help share just a little bit of update in case you were not able to be here for Sunday school. We gave you some ideas of what happens in Africa. But I just want to say it's a privilege to be kicking off your summer fest and your missions emphasis for this week, for these next few weeks. And what a great time to just remind ourselves what we're doing as you kind of look forward to the fall, and God's got great plans in mind for you. So I'm glad we get to be a part of it, and I hope that we can encourage you in the Word today. But we just want to share, if you look at the next screen, just give you an idea of kind of what the Lord allows us to be a part of. As we look in Africa, Manna Worldwide, it works specifically with nutrition centers, schools, orphanages, different aspects of ways to reach those in the community, specifically children, and meet their physical needs. But then also as they come with their physical needs, we also then share with them the gospel and present to them Jesus Christ. So this represents the African works. We are in 9 different countries in Africa. Many of our works are in Kenya, but we are all over from east to west, almost right across the equator. And the Lord has allowed us to be a part of that. That picture represents approximately 2,500 children on a daily basis are receiving food and receiving the message of the gospel on a regular basis there in Africa. So that's what the Lord allows us to be a part of. We did have the privilege of having Dustin and Will come join me this spring, and we got to see several of the works and things that are going on there. And as we mentioned in Sunday school, we'd love to take you back to be a part of that with us. And it was asked, how do you do that? If we would love to take a group from your church to put together a group, and you contact us, and we'll kind of work out through all the details. Or if you want to come individually, you'll go to the mannaworldwide.com website. You can look through the different the trips are listed, and you could get on there and say, I'd like to go with the Switzers to Africa. You put your name in, and we'll get in touch. So you can go either way, but the Lord would really do some good things in your heart, I guarantee you, if you're able to come. So I hope that you'll pray about that and maybe take a trip with us to Africa soon to see exactly what God is doing.
That is one of the great things we get to do, is take people like you on a trip. But a year ago, God has allowed us to start what we call Zadisha. In Swahili, that means multiply. It is a church planting initiative to start new churches in Mombasa, Kenya. We work with a local pastor named Duncan. If you go to the next slide, these are 4 of the planters that we are now working with. They've graduated from Bible college. Pastor Duncan works with them and goes out and helps them. And we are helping them find land to build a building. And if you look at the top, all of these churches are less than 2 years old. We have seen all of them leading people to Christ, baptizing. It's just been very exciting. But that top picture, that's what they call a mud church. This is what we start with until we know that they have ownership of the land, and then we will help them build a more permanent building. But a mud hut, you can throw one up pretty quick. So last summer, we took a group from Ohio. It was a small group. Steve had been with Pastor Philip, and he said, man, I could really use a mud church. And Steve said, well, I have a group coming. Let me talk to them. So we called the pastor, and he's like, definitely, we'll drive 3 hours in the middle of nowhere and pay $1,000 to help build this mud church. And we're like, that is awesome. So he told the pastor, we're coming on Thursday with some Americans. So when Pastor Philip told the church on Sunday, they looked at him and they said, if Americans will come this far to help us build a church, we'll have witnessed a miracle. So on Thursday, we loaded up the bus. We drove for 3 hours. We couldn't even take the bus back to where the church was. We actually had to get out and walk this path, which again upped our prayer lives because I was praying we did not see snakes as we were walking through grass this deep. And all of a sudden, after about a quarter of a mile, we started hearing something. And I'm like, and in my mind, I'm like, why are they building a church out here? There's nobody that lives out here. And as we rounded the corner of this little path, there was probably 50, 60 people out there, and they start singing and dancing, which Africans do a lot of. And they're jumping up and down, and of course, they're singing in Swahili. And we asked the pastor, we were like, what are they saying? And they were crying, and they said, mark it on your calendars. Today, we witnessed a miracle. And the people that were with us was like, we're a miracle? We didn't feel like a miracle, but here's what we found out. When you're just obedient, God will do what God wants to do. God will increase their faith by using obedience from Americans who said, sure, we'll go that far and help this team out. And it was one of the greatest days. We actually went back this year and had to extend the building because they've grown so much they can't fit everybody in there. And this is just one of the joys that we get to do, and we would love to take you. And you could build a mud hut. You could build a mud church and be part of. So thank you for your support. Thank you for what you do. We really would love to see you. But today, as Steve opens God's word, just maybe listen in your heart. What is God asking you to do that you think is just simple, but to somebody else, it could be a sign of a miracle, a sign of faith that God is working in their life? Can I pray for you? God, thank you for what you do. Thank you for this church who is so faithful to follow you. God, as we open your word, you promise your word will not return void. So God, we just ask that you fill our hearts to listen, take away distractions, and help Steve as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as we consider that miracle that those folks were able to witness, and understand that every time that you obey God, even as you give to missions, you are having a part in a miracle in someone else's life, someone you may never meet. And I hope you kind of begin to grasp the importance and the gravity of what God allows you to be a part of as you take care of missions around the world. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you, we're going to look in the book of John, chapter number 20. And I want to take the idea, obviously, of a miracle is portrayed in this chapter in one of the most powerful ways possible. Not too long ago, obviously, we commemorated one of the most important weekends in human history, which culminated in one victorious day, Resurrection Sunday, right? We call it Easter, but that's one of our names. The point is, Jesus is alive. You talk about a miracle, right? That is the epitome of all that we understand and what could be miraculous. But unfortunately, for a lot of folks, Easter is a big day for many folks, especially here in the United States and even around the world. But unfortunately, when Easter is over, a lot of people just kind of go about business as usual. Do you know, statistically in America, Easter is typically the highest attended church service in all of the days in the year. That's just people say, I'll go to an Easter. It's even bigger than Christmas. But do you know the other statistic tells us that that typically the lowest number attendance in churches across America is the Sunday after Easter. Everybody's here for Easter, and then next week we got something else to do, right? It's like Easter has, the resurrection has, it's got their attention, but it hasn't changed their daily lives. It hasn't really made the impact in their daily life experience. But the reality is, folks, that we live in the glow of Easter every day. And we actually experience and we celebrate Easter on every first day of the week. Every Sunday, it's a celebration of what happens in the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the most powerful, most influential event in all of history. So John chapter number 20, I want us to start from that most powerful day in history. And we want to talk about some things that happened on that day and how that affects us now to this day, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. John chapter number 20, and I want to read just a small passage here, and then we're going to kind of go back and fill in the gaps. But John chapter 20, starting at verse number 19, Verse number 19, the Bible says that on the evening of that day, so that would be Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you."